Hello and welcome back to the Cineclub podcast. I'm Connell.
I'm Elliot.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Jake. Today, as the saying goes, we're judging books by their covers, discussing some of our favourite and least favourite posters. Whether they're a Drew Struzan classic or a modern floating head, which are your favourites? One of mine is...
Go on, get your long list up.
Long list, yeah, that is...
You've got about 30 posters ready, by the way.
Well, I think the first one I went for was that Truman Show one, which you also commented on. Cause,
I like that one.
Yeah.
I just think Billboard one.
Yeah, because it's... Well, it's like... It's something about the way it's like laid out, because there is... There's a slightly more famous Truman Show one that you see on all the Blu-ray covers where it's like his face made up of like all of the different pictures, and that and that's quite cool. But I love this one because I feel like it just really sells you on the scale that you don't really see in the film itself.
I prefer it over the original poster.
Yeah, totally, because I think it's, you know, in the film, like it's a brilliant film, but you get quite a lot of moments where you see people watching the show, but it's like not... This just really illustrates like how massive of a thing it is, and it reminds us of that. You might know what I'm on about. You know, there's pictures out there of when the Seinfeld finale aired,
and they're
all in Times Square watching it. And I feel like, I mean, it probably isn't intentionally playing off that.
It might be, you know,
but it might be. It's that kind of idea of like that you don't really get anymore, where like, you know, this concept.
It's like a global event.
It's a global event on telly. Everybody's watching it. Nobody's like on a phone. You know, it's like. These people, you can see all of these people on the poster are just crowding this massive billboard. Yeah. And it's like, and you know, it gives you the idea of like, it's this guy basically just getting watched even when he's sleeping. And I love the fact that it looks like they've like built this custom monitor that has the days it's been on the air.
It is cool.
Like, and the title of the show you're watching, which then links to the fact that that's also just the title of the film, so you can tell what it is.
Yeah, what a budget they must have had to just shove this giant billboard.
Exactly that, yeah. Well, does it makes you wonder, like, how did they get the planning permission to put that in the middle of a city? Like,
imagine they start doing that with, like, I was going to say Emmerdale and Coronation Street. I almost said Corridale.
Corridale. That's what they should have done. They could have put that on the big screen at like Piccadilly Circus or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
It's like with the big crowd sort of at the bottom, it's kind of like, I don't know why, it just gives us like, have you seen those videos of like Times Square in New York on like New Year's Eve in the 90s? And it's like, there's not a phone in sight. You know, it's just all, I mean, it's great. It looks cool.
It does.
That's what it kind of gives us. Obviously just if it's not dark.
I think this film does capture that. The film and the poster capture that sort of, that this was like the last breath of that era of like everyone watching terrestrial television, water cooler TV, that kind of thing. And the film plays on that so well, because like it is, you know, a brilliant sort of character study, but also just about like, you know, like the effect and like the effect that TV can have on like the world and everybody watching and that kind of thing.
I feel like the poster, my only issue with the Truman Show is I feel like it doesn't lean into it enough.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I feel like it could have been a lot more like, this is just me, I feel like it could have been a bit more eerie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Well, I think, and I do sort of agree with that, but I think it works better by not being too on the nose, because it's Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You're not really expecting it to be quite genuine and quite what's the word I was just
like
thinking?
Over the top.
Yeah, well, it's like, because you do, like, I mean, when I first watched it, I just thought it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be like a comedy where he, like, realizes he's on telly and then he, like, starts taking the piss. But, like, it's not like that at all. Yeah. It's, like, it is, like, genuinely quite a, like, dystopian, heartbreaking film.
It's
like,
and he plays it quite serious. I think
he plays
the only
it really serious
breakout
yeah.
moment he has was in the car, is when he starts screaming. But apart from that,
otherwise, it's like, it's not very Jim Carrey, which I think adds to how, like, sort of unsettling it is, because even he can't really see the funny side of it. It's like, it's too much for even him. And because like you say, he plays it seriously, I think it just enhances it. So
it's a great show.
Definitely see it.
I've not seen it before.
Really?
Neither have I. Well, I actually haven't seen the film, so it makes me want to watch it.
What's doing the job?
I suppose that's what it's all about.
I haven't seen it in quite a while, but I really enjoy it.
It is really good. I think you would like it though, because you like
Jim Carrey's one of my favourite actors anyways, regardless when he's in either a funny or a serious role.
This is the one that made us really start appreciating him. It's not just like, oh, he's really funny. He's also just a really good actor as well.
Yeah. When he tried to like divert into like more serious roles with like Man on the Moon and...
Yeah.
I think the only one I saw of the serious nature so far of Jim Carrey was Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind.
Man on the Moon where he plays Andy Kaufman?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
There you go.
You got any more? Well, we know you too. But
I don't know. Does anybody else want to have a turn? Maybe if we go around.
Yeah, that's a good show.
So I don't...
What about you, Matthew?
Hog the whole thing.
Well, one of them that I was thinking about is actually... It's what we based the first Cine Club podcast poster on.
It is.
It's the Hard Day's Night poster.
Mm-hmm.
The film where you've got like the four boxes and you can see at the top half of the Beatles' heads. And they've got the comments on the side where it's like, in their first action packed motion picture. And it's like really colourful. And I feel like it sells the film quite well. Ironically, it's quite colourful, but the film is in black and white.
I know, it is quite interesting. I think I like the fact that it looks like a concert poster.
It does,
when you
does,
see
yeah.
like those Beatles concert posters from that era, it's like the same sort of colour scheme, the same sort of like really, you know, out there lettering and like, other thing that I'd never really noticed until I started looking at it more is the little, they've drawn like Beatlemania girls on there, jumping about and like getting really excited, which I think is a funny touch because like you've got them as themselves, but then the rest of it kind of like looks quite cartoony, which I think matches with the tone of the film like really well. So
I've never noticed like looking at it, Wilford Bramble's name's quite big.
He's like top billing.
Because he was he was known for like Steptoe's Son and what the hell else was he in? But he's in like shows that were always on like Quest TV and that. He's like really like, I feel like he's not really appreciated enough.
Yeah,
which is why I'm quite happy that his name's quite big on that.
Well, he's arguably the only other actor in it, because obviously like there are other people in it, but they kind of like just became part of like the Beatles posse. Like Victor Spinetti's in like all of these films, you know, he's not really known for anything else. Where Wilford Bramble at least sort of is, but but that's funny that, because like they're not credited, but
I feel like that says something.
They're not credited because it just says the Beatles. You know, that's the first thing you say at the top. So I was like, oh right, so like the Truman Show one where it's Jim Carrey at the top.
Yeah.
Instead of writing John Paul, George, and Ringo, they've just gone
the Beatles.
You know who they are.
It is quite a cool poster. Yeah.
What you were saying about like it looking like a concert poster, I mean, from me, like, looking and even designing in my time, it's like, it's as if when you see big artists now going around doing stuff, it's like, a lot of the times you will get the logo of the main artist, and then your supports, i.e. support Wilford Bramble. That's kind of like the thing which I'm getting along the lines of here.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean.
But then again, though, Wilford Bramble is like... almost just the straight up star in it, isn't it?
Yeah,
just
because it actually does, to be fair.
That was a cool little detail I noticed as well.
And then you got the stuff on the bottom produced by, what does it, Walter Shenson, and then you got Alan Owen and Richard Lester. Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
United Artists. Six new songs. I like that. It's like, new songs. I think it's quite interesting that it's like, it's a really colourful looking poster despite being on a white background.
Yeah.
I think it works well that they've just backed it white and then made everything else really pop off, like sort of off that background. So anyway, there you go.
I think it's cool.
Nice.
Right. Well, my poster is a really simple one. It's just the Batman 89 poster. I picked it for simplicity because it's just the logo with June 23rd.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. Imagine being in 1989 seeing that, just this massive logo, and it doesn't even say the name Batman. It's just like, you already know it.
Even seeing it now, like, and I've seen that film, I must have seen it about 30 times now.
I've seen it so many times.
Get excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't even know why.
It's just brilliant. It's like, it's just such a cool looking poster, and I've got a t-shirt that's just that logo because I just think it's something about it. The fact that it's like right, this isn't your granddad's Batman. This is shiny. This is golden. This is new. You know, like, it's just so cool. Like, I think it's such a, like, it perfectly sums up that era of Batman, what they were going for at that time. Although it is interesting that logo isn't the one that's on the suit. In the film, he's got a different sort of weird like suit thing, but like, yeah, which is confusing because I just thought, oh, maybe they've just didn't know that that was the logo at the time, but they did because it was on the poster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
What you were saying about it being like different, like this isn't your dad's Batman. It's like
this isn't Adam West. He's killing people. He's sick. He's sick in the head. He's mad.
No more Biff Baffs and Pows anymore. Exactly.
But what I was going to say was what you said about Adam West, like the Adam West, like Batman the movie poster is very colourful.
That's quite a good poster as well, to be fair. But
But it's got like, well, Batman's in bright blue and then you've got everyone else, like it's just a really colourful poster compared to this where it's got like two colours in it.
Yeah, totally. Mm. It is. It's much more muted. Can I ruin it for you also?
Go on.
Because I saw... Somebody was saying when they were a kid, when they first saw this poster, they didn't realize it was the bat symbol. They thought it was a mouth. So if you squint really hard and you just imagine the bat, like the bat shape is like the black, like an empty mouth, and then the gold bits are teeth. And...
Whoa. Kind of. It's really hard to see, but if you
squint extra hard, it looks like it's like a mouth going.
You've reminded me of another poster. I'm going to come back to it, but I'd forgot about it for years. I'm going to come back to it because I think it's a contender for the best film.
If it's
poster.
The one that you've just got up, that's one of the ones I picked as well.
Oh, was it?
The Superman one.
Yeah.
I've
completely forgot about it.
Which Superman one?
Superman the movie, the first one. Where it's just the logo on like a cloudy sky. Yeah. With the three colours coming down and then you'll believe a man can fly. Yeah. I mean it's so,
so cool.
Simplistic, but it is the same kind of thing where it's got like the logo's shiny. It's like it's a logo you've seen before, you know it, but you know, this isn't your nan's Superman. This is the modern cool version with Marlon Brando. It's like, you know, it's so cool. It's like the colours. And also I think they've done that effect where they've made the clouds with a water tank, I think. Because if you I saw a video ages ago about how they used to make like the before CGI they'd make the effect of clouds. So like say the end of Ghostbusters is a great example where they've got the clouds above the building. Yeah. What they'd basically do is they'd film a fish tank and then into this fish tank they'd like inject like almost like sort of like food colouring kind of, and that would create inky food colouring, inject ink into the sort of thing, so that looks like that where it's like it's just like ink being put into like water, but it looks like
the things they had to go through back then to do the simplest of stuff, and now we can just do that
just instantly. Like, I know it's like it's almost too easy, really. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
that one's worth mentioning. Is there anything, Connell, you wanted to talk about?
Yes. Well, one of the posters I picked was the original Alien movie, Ridley Scott.
Alien,
it's all Shield Boy.
Yeah, exactly. So Shield Boy. But I picked it because of, well, one being one of my favourite films. But it's just the, I know I've got like the sort of the white sort of outline version which I sent you, but normally it would just be the black with all the other stuff. But I think just seeing how simple it is, just the title and then the tagline in space, tagline, no one can hear you scream. And it's the eeriness of the egg with the green stuff coming out. Yeah, like it feels like it captures like the one word being isolation. Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, no pun intended with Alien Isolation. But I think it's been another thing to do with like pop culture stuff, because I've seen a couple of other bits where it's referenced and
well, they've like completely redone that poster for Alien Earth, I think. Yeah, where to the Earth, which is cool.
That was pretty cool.
Even random example here from one band which I listen to called Meshuggah. They did a live album, it's just that in their title, but it's the exact same thing, but with the lead singer's face on it, just with his mouth screaming wide open, which I thought was quite funny. Shout out to Meshuggah if you listen.
There you go. I like that.
But that's really the main reason. And because it just looks like an isolated poster, and that's majority of the film. It's like, it's not like Aliens where it's more action-packed and stuff. Yeah. It's like, this is where you feel you are completely trapped. Because it's worse being trapped. It's like, it's bad being trapped in like a haunted house or something like that. But at least you can get out of it. You're in space now.
There's no escape. Yeah, you are stuck.
There's no way.
I genuinely can't believe I only saw Alien for the first time last year.
That's crazy.
Really?
That is crazy.
I genuinely can't.
I thought it took me ages to watch them, and I watched them like in lockdown. So yeah, and even that was quite late for me because I'd watched like all of the Predator films before that and loads of stuff, and I just don't know why it just took us a while. But
I mean, I'd played Isolation, but I'd never.
Yeah, but you never watched the film.
Really good. Really
that was
good.
My introduction, really, because I used to play that with a friend, and that he was the.
You're too scared to play on your own.
Well, it was well, you know, everybody had that cool friend that like their parents would let them get away with everything, and that was So I had this friend in middle school. And that was like, it's the same friend who showed us Predator, and my dad got really disappointed, which we were talking about on one of the other episodes. But he used to play Alien Isolation. So that was my like gateway into it. That was how I found out what like the Xenomorph is and all that kind of thing. It took us a while to watch the films. But yeah, I think it's interesting actually on that poster. I've always thought it looks like a planet. Like the egg.
Like it looks like the moon.
The egg looks like the moon.
Yeah, it does look at the moon.
And it's another one that lies to you as well, because at no point in the films do the eggs hatch like that.
No, you're right.
It's upside down.
It doesn't crack out the bottom.
And
nothing
like,
green happens either. It's just sort
really,
of like
no.
the acid, but it's like not, it's not luminescent.
Like the eggs and gremlins. When they hatch, they like have like that green light and all the like dry ice and stuff. So like
I can imagine that Sigourney Weaver just facing off against a giant gremlin.
I would kill to see that. I mean, yeah, but it's really effective. Like you say, it's cool. It's just the fact that it's like just the white on black with a splash of green and like the sort of fog machine going full blast. Like you don't really know what it is. That's the thing. It's like, I think a lot of these posters, this is one thing that annoys us about more modern posters. And when you do see one that's quite subtle, like that, nowhere on that poster is there a picture of the Xenomorph, any of the characters, anything really about what it is. It just gives you the idea, alien. Right, there's going to be an alien in it. Meh. In space, no one can hear you scream. Right, it's going to be a horror film. That's all you need to know. That's brilliant. You know, it totally sells you on it without giving away too much. So
the trailer does the exact same thing. It just shows like...
Exactly.
It shows like screaming, like the cat screaming and like alarms going off. And then it just cuts to space and then there's nothing. There's no noise. They don't show the alien.
Because that would just be spoiling it. Like,
well, I think the typography of it is really cool as well, because obviously like... It's become a thing now in the films where they do that thing where the letters gradually appear in pieces until it spells the word alien.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was so cool.
Yeah, the soundtrack put in the background.
The soundtrack,
I just want to quickly compare this one to what you were saying about the Don't Show the Alien to the Alien Covenant poster. And like, the trailer does the same thing where the alien is like front and center for like most of it.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, like all of the posters, like they just show you it now and it's like, it's just not... It's not as effective, I don't think.
Yeah, that one.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a picture of the monster. Like, you just don't want to see that.
Because
like,
this movie is supposed to, Covenant was supposed to be like the big, the Xenomorph's back, because it wasn't in Prometheus, I don't think.
Yeah, well, everybody complained there was no Xenomorphs in Prometheus, which was kind of
Prometheus
a whole...
Prometheus was like part of the alien
prequel.
Yeah. How is it? I've never
seen
it. It is a prequel then again, though, so it's like...
Yeah. It's about like the engineers who like created the Xenomorph.
I've seen
whatever,
like photos,
like that.
Like screenshots of it, but I've never... That's cool.
It's okay. It's just
decent. It's just not alien.
Well, there's a surprise. He thought he was watching a documentary. It's all right. I think the problem with that, it's not so much a problem with the film itself. It's just a problem with the concept of it's like, it's backstory that I don't think I ever needed. Yeah. Like, I just I didn't need to know what came before the Xenomorphs.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. Really cared,
I just, I've realised, I don't know why I thought of this. I know the bottom of the poster, like the sort of the rubbery looking bits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's supposed to be like a planet or at least the bottom of the hive where the eggs are.
Yeah.
but it just looks like a shreddy, like
so close up. I was thinking like a jumper. It's like a sort of like knitted jumper. But yeah, it does look like a shreddy.
In space, no one can get you shredded.
Delicious. In space, you don't get any brekkie.
That's the true horror.
Have you got anything else?
Well, I'm gonna try and continue that thread with the two horror ones that I was sort of singling out. So I've got the Fright Night poster, which I think is really cool.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't really like it. It looks a bit corny.
Do you reckon? Yeah. Really? Go on. Do you just?
I've not seen Fright Night, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me have a look at the poster again.
It's given as Beetlejuice. Yeah. Like, mainly for the painting sort of design.
Yeah.
I do like it, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it would have been better if that being, whatever it is, was a bit more, we couldn't make it out as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It wasn't as obvious
like
that it was a face.
I feel like it's too detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the tagline. The tagline's great.
The tagline's great. I think the reason I like it is because it sort of perfectly boils down the aspect of the film that basically it's an ordinary street and then like a vampire moves in next door. So I like the fact that this just looks like it's just the guy's house, but lo and behold, there's a dark vampire force coming to get him, and it's, you know, sort of watching him from the sky. Yeah. And I do kind of see what you mean. I think I'm maybe a little bit biased because in the film, that face, that is a real lady's face. Like, there's a practical effect when she turns into a vampire and basically like our entire mouth opens, and it's
like that.
It's really, really cool. It's a really like gnarly looking effect. But so I think that's a pretty cool one. Also the typography, because it's the F and the T look like vampire fans.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. Yeah. I think that's just, it's one of those classic VHS covers.
I do like it. I think it is just the detail.
It's just the detail.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'd quite like it.
It's, you know, it's a painted horror poster. It doesn't give that much away. Mm. You could just imagine seeing it on like the shelf of a Blockbuster and being like, yeah, that looks like it could be quite fun. Yeah. And then Scanners was the other one I picked, which
one's really good.
I think that one's really cool because it's another one where it's just black background. Ooh. It's just the dude, and it's like
so cool.
How, and I mean, you know, if you've seen the film, you'll know what's going on in that photo. But like, if not, it's like, you know what? Like, what's going on? Yeah. Why is he doing that? Like, you know,
it looks brutal.
Yeah, because that's it. Like, he's in genuine pain. He's not really a zombie. He's like, you know, his skin's all like veins and stuff. I'm also, I mean, it goes without saying, but a lot of these being hand drawn, I think adds quite a lot. Like that adds to it. And like, you know, obviously all of the taglines and everything. Like, you know, because you've seen Scanners, Elliot?
Yes.
You probably haven't, but like you'll probably know the bit with the guy's head exploding.
Yeah.
That's the most famous part.
Yeah, I've seen that bit.
I mean, yeah, that's. I just think it's quite cool that it's like this culture of people who are like, it's like Evil Shining, basically.
Yeah, it's
like
kind of like mutants where they can read people's. Can they read thoughts as well?
They can read people's thoughts.
Minds.
Okay. I think so. Yeah. So they can read people's thoughts, and they can that minds can kill, or their thoughts can kill, rather, as the poster says.
Mm-hmm. Which me list
in itself is a really cool tagline. It's just it's a great.
Oh yeah,
film.
The tagline stood out to me.
Yeah,
and they're winning. Like,
they're winning.
That.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
It's just so cool.
The only problem I have with Scanners is that the main dude on the poster is barely in the movie.
That's true.
He's in the beginning and the end. Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside, who's like, he's really cool. I love him. He's a great actor. But you're right, he's not actually in it that much. Yeah. And he's like the most iconic part. The actual character in it is
really boring.
He's really boring. That compared to like what you're sort of promised. But that's what I mean. That's what's interesting about it, because it's like, it's that the bit that's depicted on that poster, there is a scene in the film that looks like that, but it like, I don't even think it looks as good as the poster, the poster makes that bit look way cooler, which is, you know, that's the whole point. They're going to try and entice you to come see this for some freaky dude screaming, to put it in the most simplest terms. So those are some more good examples, horror ones.
I've got one more good example.
Go on.
But continuing the horror trend.
Might as well.
The thing.
Yes.
It's like you said about it being like drawn and like it's it's just a painting.
It's brilliant because it doesn't tell you what's going on. It's just you know it's in the Arctic. The fact that they use blue so much, like the blue color scheme, links that perfectly, and you just know something freaky's happening to this dude, and you don't really know what it is, but it still sells you even when you've seen the film. Because do you know about the process of how he made that poster?
No.
He hadn't seen the film.
All right.
All he was sent was a basic synopsis and they gave him a weekend. And that was how he did it. So he basically he'd never seen anything from the film. He'd never seen any of the transformations. And because of that, I think it perfectly captures what's so cool about the thing, where like anything can happen to these people once they get infected with the thing. It's like it's really cool. Yeah, I think it's a great one.
It adds to the mystery of like, it's a normal guy, but there's obviously something up with
something
him.
Wrong.
Like, his face is glowing. But like, it just adds to like the mystery of the film of like, it looks like a normal person, but is it though? That's
the whole
thing of the film.
And it's simple, but effective. That's the thing. here's the thing. So yeah, that's another fabulous choice.
Great one. Anyone got any more for move on to some of the pants ones?
Well, Marvel.
the other one I had was the original Blade Runner poster, not the final cut one though, just the normal sort of theatrical one.
Okay.
Because I do actually prefer it to the final cut version. Well, like poster wise. I don't know about yous, but like, as soon as I see this poster, all I can hear is just bow synth, like, you know, and like
Vangelis kicks in.
Like any kind of stuff. But I think it's like, it shows not too much, but it also tells you a lot about what you're about to see.
Yeah.
Because what I was going to say is that like the city takes up half the poster, which like makes sense because like the city is like its own character in the movie.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's full of life.
Yeah.
It's
you get to see a spinner as well.
Yeah.
That's on there. So it's like flying cars way before Back to the Future 2 came out.
Oh, yes.
So that's, so that's already like pretty promising for like, you know, trying to entice an audience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a tagline as well. Man has made his match, now it's his problem. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's a great one. I don't know if this was intentional here, but you see, the difference between Harrison Ford and I forgot the name of the actress.
Sean Young.
Yeah. Well, like, Harrison Ford has sweat dripping off him.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't.
She looks
and
cool.
It's
as
like,
ice. Yeah,
it's,
you know,
kind of like, because of it being the whole replicant kind of thing. It's like you're completely clean. That kind of very clean.
Yeah, that's like, you're not going to be the bit when he's in the rain though at the end.
It could have been.
It could be either. I think
I just think it comes off
action,
more as like sweat pores rather than like rather than rain.
I think it's as well. You could read her on the poster as being, because obviously the whole film's quite noir influenced. She looks like a sort of femme fatale. She's smoking the cigarette, looking, like I say, cool as ice, versus, you know, Harrison Ford, who's like fighting for his life, sweating it out with his cool futuristic gun. Like, yeah, no, I think that is a really interesting
If only she was in her long coat and grey hat smoking a cigarette.
I know, that would, I don't know, you know.
You'll get it.
She's his friend, but unfortunately she is electric, so there's not much of a question there.
Are we all right? What's going on?
He's joking about our friend's electric.
Our friend's electric.
Oh, right.
Gary Newman.
In a long cut, smoking a cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rapper.
Anyway, that's a perfect one as well, to be fair. That whole song sounds like it was written like based on a Philip K. Dick novel, so like...
It might have done.
Probably was. It's really cool.
Yeah, but you ever thought about if our androids dreamt of electric sheep before?
I can't say I have. No. I've read the book. I've said this loads of times, and all I remember about it is it's just, they just won't stop banging on about animals. That's the whole. So in the book, they make like this really big point about like the class divide, having a real pet versus having like an electronic pet. Uh-huh. So they make very brief reference to that in the film where he sees the owl and he's like, oh, is that a real owl?
Right.
And she's like, no, it's like mechanical or something. that's like 90% of the book. That's like, there's like, it takes up so much of the plot.
So it's like the difference between having a Hexburg and a Pitbull Terrier.
Basically, like, yeah. Well, yeah, because in the book, Deckard has like, he has like a wife and she like hates him because he won't buy her a Pitbull Terrier. She's stuck with a Hexburg. But,
both have songs though, so.
Exactly. The Drew Struzan, you know, the final cut poster, I think, was the one that was drawn first as well.
Was it?
Because they came to Drew Struzan and they got him to do that poster. But it was either they weren't that bothered or he wasn't confident in it and they sort of shelved it for like 10, 20 years. And then when the final cut came out, they were like, oh, let's do that poster again because Drew Struzan's still all the rage. So, so that was the second attempt. He died quite recently, which is really tragic. Mm. So.
A shame.
Big Drum Little China, that's another Drew Struzan one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That one's amazing, yeah.
Do we want to move on to the bad ones now?
Yeah.
I'm happy to do that. I think I've covered my bases.
Are there any posters that you really don't like, or more in particular, styles of posters that you don't like? For me, it's the MCU. MCU in the room.
Yep.
Just generic of bluster of people staring in different directions.
Yeah, they're all smouldering on the volume.
Yeah. Through the blue steel on the poster.
I'm gonna counter that though, because one of my good ones, I was saying, I've put Guardians of the Galaxy because I think that's the perfect way to do the ensemble cast on the poster without having a load of floating heads. Yeah. Like, it looks natural and it tells you a lot about the film.
Kind of. You
don't see many of them like that nowadays. Like you say, they all just look like they've cut and pasted the exact same style of poster. Yeah. I think the new Dune, like the first Dune poster was like that as well. That was really bad for that. Mm-hmm. The second one, part 2's poster was really cool. But
for the MCU, one of the main ones when I was like, hi God, these posters are really bad. It was the Ant-Man one, because you have the main character in front and then just everyone else staring in different directions. Yeah. And it's like, here is everyone. Like, we're not going to pinpoint anyone, but like, they're just... Like you said, mugging essentially.
I think the worst offender, out of those ones is the Homecoming one. Iron Man's there twice. Yeah. Spider-Man's there twice.
Because there's two. There's one where it's like Spider-Man and Iron Man side by side. Yeah. Like he's swinging and he's flying.
That one's quite cool.
It's just a bit bland, I think.
Yeah. What is that? That's actually
That one's awful,
It is hideous. Like, I'm not even convinced that's a real one. I still think that that's just like a fake and somebody's
The Homecoming one.
Really bad. It must be fake. It's so bad. Who would think that looks good?
Well, the Vulture's on there twice as well.
Zendaya's on there, even though she's like not really a character in that one. Yeah. Not twice, only once. It's just, that one's terrible. The Uncharted one's another bad.
I was going to say, speaking of Tom Holland. Yeah.
They all start doing the same thing now, haven't they?
It's just such a thing, that they just all look the same.
Just have a blue background, have the characters like Tom Holland or whoever at the front is make his head big, and then have the rest just staring out in different directions.
Exactly.
This is his actual size in the movie.
It's quite funny actually though, because I've only just thought of this, so if you don't know what poses I'm on about, I'm very sorry, because I would have sent them, but the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood poster is like arguably a floating heads poster, but because they do it in the style of like a 60s 70s film poster, they get away with it. But then that's made us think that floating head posters have always kind of been a thing, because like the American Graffiti poster, which from like 1973, that just looks like an MCU poster, but it's like hand drawn from the time.
See, I think that's what stands out though, is if it's hand drawn, I can respect
it. If it's hand drawn, you can get away with it. But
not
like
just hopping on PowerPoint down. Photoshop.
You know what they might have done?
They might have looked like they have.
Entirely possible.
I feel like they get away with it a bit.
They do, yeah.
You know.
But floating head posters are very, very hard.
I stumbled across this one the other day when I was looking for a few others.
Right.
But look up the X-Men First Class
poster. So funny.
It's floating head to another level.
Why is he there? Why is he done it?
It's like a cardboard cutout window and like a little face looking
one,
through it.
Yeah, that one. He's on.
That's so glad. Yeah, that is
somebody.
I like how they've cut it so they've cut James McAvoy's head so he doesn't look bald.
He's in there with he's playing.
His eye looks kind of like cut off as well, and his eyebrow is slightly gone.
Whoever made it needed. They should have been sacked.
Terrible. Should have been.
He did it with Magneto as well. Like,
oh my god!
There's one on his crotch for some reason.
Sort of foreshadowing.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's just it's the trend of putting it on everyone's crotch. Why?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got because, like I say, I picked out a couple of posters that I think are better than the films themselves. So we've got not MCU, pre-MCU, Spider-Man 3. That is a really cool poster. Oh, that represents the
Spider-Man
whole...
Spider-Man 3.
I mean, yeah, don't get me... Like I say, 3. I still love the film.
Spider-Man
3
is so funny.
Spider-Man
is
so
good. It's not even that bad.
It's really not. I would still defend Spider-Man 3, but I do think...
Still got the moves.
It's so funny.
I think the poster is, like, it's really iconic, despite, you know, it's like... The film's got a bit of a reputation, but just like you know, we grew up in that generation. The idea, just the fact that they've got a black suit Spider-Man on there, it's like cool. it's so cool.
The fact that back to back as well, that's
exactly that. And David Lynch June one, I think, is just a really pretty looking picture. And Halloween 4, I mean, the mask looks like proper Halloween, and it makes it look like this is it, the big return. There's the original Myers house. It looks really consistent with the original, even though it's 10 years later. The film itself looks nothing like that. It's like total bullshit, but like, but still, I think that's quite a cool poster.
Yeah. I've got a good example for like posters that are better than the films. The teaser poster for Long Legs.
Oh,
really good, I still haven't seen that.
It's all right, where there's like a body covered in blood under like a white sheet. And all it says is long legs and red over the front.
That's cool.
I do really like I was so excited for that film.
There's some really good horror really poses that just like that advertise terrible films.
Especially in the modern day, really.
Especially nowadays, I feel like horror posters are almost getting better while every other poster's getting worse.
Yeah.
There's like more examples where I've thought that looks like a really cool poster for a film, but like I don't even know anything about it. So
I was gonna mention Sinners because I love Sinners, but the poster is just a bit
The poster
it just has Michael B. Jordan against the sunset, and I'm like, I get done vampires. But like,
there's more you could do with that film, I think, than just that. Yeah,
just have like, Michael B. Jordan in the center. It's just like,
When
I saw that poster, I'm like, the hell is this about?
Like, I saw the trailer and like, but to be fair, they didn't massively let on that it was vampires. No. It just made it look like it was like a horror film.
Yeah.
And then when I actually watched it, I was like, oh, this is amazing because it's from Dust Till Dawn, but like way cooler.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to throw my last one out there.
Go on.
And I am convinced this is the worst poster ever made. Tim Allen in the Shaggy Dog.
Oh my God.
Oh God. I don't even need to look it up. I know what you mean.
Awful, it's terrible. Yeah. So bad.
I think it is the one I'm
thinking of. His eyes like superimposed onto a dog.
It's just hideous.
And he looks demented.
It's creepy.
And he's so close to the camera. It's really unsettling.
It is
awful.
Somebody was paid to do that, by the way.
I mean, that is crazy.
Is he jail time?
It's like...
They had a gun held to the head.
I think
why did you do it?
See, that's the thing. When you mentioned going into a blockbuster, Jake, like, you know, when you'd walk by and you wouldn't want to walk by certain aisles because of the things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There would be a couple of things I would avoid. One being the Rise of Nightmares game.
Okay.
The other one, that poster.
I don't even blame you.
Sleep paralysis, deep.
It is just demented, man.
It's awful. It's so bad.
I can't stop staring at it.
It's like a car crash, how did it get that?
Can't look away.
Can't look away. There you go.
That is.
God.
Was there any others worth mentioning?
I think I was done with mine. Anybody else?
Call it there. I think that's all the building blocks and taglines we've got time for today. Make sure to check out our Instagram, TikTok and Facebook pages for more Cine Club podcast content and updates.
As always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being engineered and edited by Emily Main. Special thanks goes out to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler, and Richard Berry. A reminder, that our four poster connoisseurs this week have consisted of me, Connell.
Me, Elias.
Me, Matthew.
And me, Jake. This has been a Cineflow production for Spark. Thanks for listening.